Não tanto.
Hello.
Alrighty. Oh, David, hi.
Hi.
I didn't. Did you want to lead this meeting, by the way,
No.
since you're technically the co-chair?
No.
I didn't know Gary Lou had asked you or not, or if she was
That's
just because I
okay. You
was doing a
can
presentation.
you usurp my power. I'm perfectly fine with that.
So you served. No. Alrighty. Good evening, everyone. It looks like it's 5:34. We'll call the meeting to order. This is the Fort Lowell Historic Preservation Zone Advisory Board meeting. And if everyone, I mean, we don't really need to do this because it's more of a formality since it's just us, but let's do it anyway. If everyone wants to just state their name and their affiliation, I'm Dan Hill. I'm a resident of Fort Lowell.
Briggs Klinko, board member.
Dave Peets, resident member of the board, resident.
Elaine Hill, board member.
Margot Sackheim, board member.
Desiree Aranda, historic preservation officer.
Great. In case anybody is really bored and wants to watch this later. So has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the previous meeting on June 22nd? Or no, sorry. Yeah, that's right. June 22nd. June 22nd.
Yes.
Great. Are there any comments or changes?
I move we approve the minutes of June 22nd.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. That was
Aye.
David.
Great. So moved. Okay, so we don't have any presentations. Let me go back to the agenda here. Okay, so did that call to the audience? So does anybody else have anything? I do have one thing I'd like to bring up for call to the audience, but I'll let anybody else go first if they'd rather do that.
I'll just note that we didn't receive any public comment via email for today's
Okay.
meeting.
Anybody else have something they want to share?
We don't have an audience, so
Well,
there's
no,
no
but
board.
it's like if there's an agenda item, if there's not an agenda item to address it, this would be the time, is all. So, okay, if nobody else, I do have a non-agenda item that I'd like to address and for the board to discuss. And potentially, I'd like to make it an agenda item for next time if everyone's in agreement. Let me go ahead and do this. That one, share this. Can everyone see that?
Yes.
Everybody on Zoom, I mean.
Yes.
Great. Okay. So, as we discussed in the past, there have been some time, on occasion, times when we approve something, and what gets done after we give our recommendation is different from the recommendation itself. So, you may all recall the gate discussion from a couple meetings ago at 5440. This is what came back as the design gate after our discussion. So this is what was proposed and approved from a minor review, as far as I understand. And then driving by is what we got. So I just want to open the floor for a discussion about that because this seems to be a recurrent issue.
Similarly, we ended up getting these like really modernist contemporary style bike racks in front of the commissary, and those were specifically called out as a condition for the public building.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is re remarkably diff. Oh, I can put this in presentation. It'll make it a little easier to see. Sorry. So it's remarkably different. I mean, it's It's not even a hint of what was proposed and approved. So I want to just open the discussion for where do we go from here? How do we address this? Because this keeps happening, right? This happened at 5259. This happened at this address. This happened, as Briggs was saying, at the commissary. I'm sure there are multiple other multiple other cases in which we can point to. But yeah, what do we do?
So if I can interject, if there are projects that were built not as approved, those can be reported for code enforcement if they were, dramatically different than what was actually approved. So that's one category. The other thing is, in some cases, it might be a situation where the board made a recommendation, and perhaps that recommendation wasn't ultimately what was approved. So they could be like multiple different things going on, but in the cases where what was built does not reflect the plans, then that is a code enforcement issue.
Oops, one second.
I just want to mention in regards to the design of the gate, which I also just noticed on my way to the meeting. It's hard to tell in the photo, but it's a wood gate. It's with some metal strapping.
I don't know. I think it's all steel.
Is it?
Yeah,
Oh, it
from
look.
what I could tell, it's all steel. It's made to look a little. It's supposed to, I think, look kind of wood-like because of these angles or something. That's my guess. It's supposed to look like pickets, but to my eye, that doesn't look like pickets. That looks like.
Okay, gotcha. I just saw it on the drive by. I didn't in pull in because I didn't want to be late to the meeting. It looked like it was wood, but
No, I think
it's a completely
it's
metal
rusticated
fence.
steel there as I can. Which is, in fairness, we did request rusticated steel, but more like that rather than, yeah, something that blends into the landscape, follows the guidelines, so maybe the best course of action, and if anybody disagrees, please tell me. Maybe we can put this on the agenda for next time to revisit enforcement issues and see if there's any avenue by which we as a board can request that enforcement be more proactive than reactive, such that maybe there is some kind of code enforcement, just as when you pull a permit for a wall or a, a new addition. And if that, this is part of the permitting process. So, sorry, go ahead. Looked like somebody was talking, or I heard something.
I can
Elaine?
add if, yeah, I didn't know if someone else was going to speak either, but we are, that is on our work plan to create inspections for historic. It's just right now we're short-staffed and we're in the middle of hiring someone, but hopefully this fall we'll be starting that conversation. So we know that's a need. It is on our work plan. We just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay. So this is in process of being addressed.
Yes, and when
So
we have something, we could present an
yeah,
update, but we just
that'd
won't
be
have anything most likely at the next meeting.
So
And oh, go ahead, David.
no, I just wanted to refresh my memory. So the plan that you showed just a few minutes ago was, that one. So that one was proposed in response to our
Yeah,
recommendation.
in
Okay.
response to our discussion.
And our, yeah.
I don't see how you can go about enforcing something when they propose a certain style and then they come up with something completely different. I mean, how do you go about enforcing that they comply with the final recommendation?
So in
I
terms
just,
of, go ahead.
oh, go ahead, Desiree, please do.
I was just going to say, so in situations where, and I don't, we'd have to, I would have to research this specific plan, look back and see what the final approval was on the stamped plans, right? So I wasn't aware of this case that it was going to be brought up today. But just in general, right? So say something is approved and it's built differently than what was approved, then I mean, they would have to take it down and put up what was approved. I mean, that's the option, right? Or just take it down. And I mean, we have cases like that where something gets built and it wasn't approved, they have to take it down, and that's how it is ultimately enforced. So.
But this, if memory serves, this second plan was not formally presented to us and approved by us. Is that correct?
I think it was done in a minor review.
Oh.
Yeah,
The
so
initial
they're.
design was rejected by the
Right.
board.
And so
Yeah,
why?
and remember that the board is advisory, right? So
Right.
both Fort Lowell Advisory Board, all the advisory boards, and PRS, the Plans Review Subcommittee, are advisory. So you all provide your recommendations, and then the final decision is made by the PDSD director. And so sometimes the conditions that you all recommend are utilized, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes it's a combination of both committees, right? Because each committee has their own recommendations. So the final approval isn't always necessarily, the version that you all see.
So Briggs, I know you got to jump in here, but just again, so I'm clear here. So this gate was approved by the PDS director. I'm saying the one that we're seeing now, or do we know that?
I would have to look it up to be sure. I
Okay.
don't remember.
But theoretically, yes, it sh it it one or both of them would have been approved.
I don't know, right? Because the image is showing the reference gate and development zone, and then to the right is an example, which I want to say that is what was approved, but I've seen so many plans. I would have to look to be sure.
Just quick question, Desiree. You may or may not know this. Because I know that when you like through city's pro property research, usually like permitted projects end up posting the documents on the property's record card, so you can just look them up as a matter of public research.
Yes.
But I'm sure that there's like a certain amount of lag time. Do you know like what that interval is? Is the city somewhat caught up, or can it take like a couple of weeks or a month or more to for the plans to make it onto Pro?
The plans go on to Pro pretty much overnight as to when the approval happens in
Oh,
TDP
okay.
Online for the historic approval. And then, right, they go through their permitting process, the rest of the reviews, but the design needs to match what was approved for historic. But yeah, it should go overnight as soon as the final review is signed off on in TDC Online.
Oh, okay. And so was this for the address was 5440. I just have to look it up here. And then I also in the chat, just for anybody who does want to post code violations, the form, I put the link to the forms for how to do it as an individual separate from a board meeting setting. Like we are empowered and allowed, any neighbor can report code violations.
Yeah, and then if you are the one reporting it, you'll have like a case number. Eventually there will be case number, and it could be a little bit easier to like keep track of where it is in that process.
Great. So, I mean, the question, the reason that I was bringing this up is more or less to see whether we wanted to discuss this further or whether we're happy with the current status quo. So, I mean, if anybody else wants to weigh in, I think For my money, I think having a discussion about this, maybe writing a letter as a board saying this has been a constant issue. You know, we'd like this, you know, it's, we know that it'll be addressed in the near future in some capacity, but we just want to, you know, make it known here are all the cases, right, where this has become a problem.
But if our role is only advisory, what standing do we really have?
That's also been a problem.
Well, there because we're advisory to the plan approval, and there was an actual like next level of getting this gate installed that was approved. And unfortunately, I'm not able. It says that the database is updating right now, so I can't even look at this general property information that would have any other permitting records. Usually, like if it's anything that's happened in the last 10 years, like the information is just available through Pro Tucson about any improvements to property that went through a permitting or process that required the city to sign off.
Briggs, I found it. I found the one that, and it was approved on 4/23. It's when the decision letter was issued.
This
What
design that
Dan is
we're looking
showing?
at,
On which design?
The design that Dan showed.
This one
One.
here.
The very simple one. Yeah.
So there wasn't a subsequent
Yes.
design
Yeah, there was
approved.
a reconsideration, and then they presented that second gate design, and that is what was approved by the director.
Right, but what's up there now was not approved. Is that
No,
right?
we've never seen that before.
This is what we've never seen before.
Well, we, I mean, is it, would we, so would we
Or anyone from the
necessarily?
board or any this has not been that has not gone through the city, near as I know.
Well, it sounds like a code violation.
It does. It sounds like a big finger in the eye.
Yeah, that's a polite way to say it,
Mm.
So, yeah, I know, Desiree, you said that there's going to be changes being made. I posed the question to the board, is that sufficient for us, or do we want to raise more of a stink about this and have a discussion about it next time?
Well, I think you need to have another discussion. I mean, obviously, we're not the only place that has this problem. If it's in the work plan for the Historic Preservation Office to start inspections for historic design.
Okay, so Desiree, if we could add that to the agenda next time, just to have a more lengthy discussion about code
Sure.
violation enforcement, and how it's affecting Fort Lowell specifically, and what we as a board can do about it, that would be ideal.
Sure, we can add that. The only thing I kind of caution against is bringing up specific properties like cases that are not on the agenda and we don't have, the property owner available to talk. But if you would like to have a discussion, like a general discussion, that's perfectly fine.
Sorry, I don't know what the rules are, so I'm sorry if this is a breach of etiquette.
What about the commissary? Are we allowed to speak about this public building that's owned by the city?
Do you mean, I guess, in what capacity or what
In
would you like
terms
to speak
of
about?
like ignoring the board recommendations.
I would have to probably talk to the director to see what, I mean, I don't know what that conversation, how we would agendize that, what that would look like. I mean, the recommendations are advisory, right, by both boards, and that's been the system since the inception of the Historic Preservation Program
But
for the city of
if a
Tucson.
recommendation is accepted by the PRS and the city manager, doesn't
It's a
that.
recommendation, Dan. I mean, so they get a plan, they get the approved plan from the his advisory board and from the PRS, and then they go forward into construction. And then during construction, they put forward, 100 change orders, depending on what they run into, or other departments that have trouble with what was approved, and they don't ever come back and say, oh, by the way, we're going to pour concrete in front of the commissary and put up a giant sign
So my
or.
question is, you know, when it comes from us, it's a recommendation. I understand it. When it goes through the PRS and then finally to the city manager, is it still a recommendation? Or
Yeah.
is it now is it now a
It's a
mandate?
plan. It's an approved permit plan, right?
Right. That's
It
my
goes to
understanding is
the.
once it's approved, once the city manager signs off, that's what you got to do.
It's the PDSD director. But yes, once the plans are approved, then yes. If you all would like a presentation on the overall process, I mean that would something we can agendize. I'm just trying to pull out what it
So,
is that.
no, I mean, I guess I'm asking you to correct me if I'm wrong, because the what you're saying is when it comes from us, it's a recommendation. And what I'm wondering, is it still just a recommendation after it's approved by the PSD
No, it's
director?
a per they get a permit, right? So any
Right.
type of, yeah, it's a
So
permit.
let's assume for the sake of argument that in we don't have to we can go away from this case since you know, I'm sorry if that was again breach of etiquette. But let's say that something gets approved and then what gets built is completely different, right? It's a definite code violation, right?
It's possible it could be a code violation if it was not approved.
Okay. Yeah. So I think then that's what we're discussing. It's how to manage that because it seems to be a rampant problem.
Okay.
Or at least how to maybe influence that, be able to
Manage it.
manage it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops. You know, at the very least, register our concern, you know, with the city that we seem to be doing our part, the city's doing their part, issues a permit, but the terms of the permit are not upheld, they're violated. And so I think, you know, what we would like to see for the sake of, right, the neighborhood is to see that process be, you know, that there be integrity to that process. Which in this
Yeah.
case, it was a clear violation of that. So, you know, I think our sort of words of concern and encouragement are, you know, really directed at the city here, right? Maybe that's this is what you're suggesting all along, Dan.
Yeah, more. I mean, I don't mean to, I don't mean to say that the city's not working on this at all either. I mean, obviously Desiree said that, you know, they are in process of developing a means by which to enforce these decisions. But I still think it may be worth just,
You know,
like you said, registering our.
registering our frustration with, you know, how these things come out the other end of the tunnel here.
All righty. Well, so I think Desiree, you said you can put that on for next time. And if everybody's satisfied with that, we can probably move on to the next thing.
Let's move
Any?
on. Let's move
Okay, great.
on.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry to bring that up and.
No, I think it's really good, Dan. It's frustrating to see this happen over and over.
Right. All right, so let me go back here. The next agenda item is the visual aids for Fort Lowell HPD design guidelines. For my money, this was more meant to be a discussion about interpretation of our guidelines that leads to developing these visual aids. And so I hope that's kind of where we land. So let me bring this up. And I said I would be the first to take a crack at it. So here I go. Can everyone see that?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So, as we are all very thrilled to have learned, the guidelines have been approved, the new guidelines. And I think something that could really help us during our reviews, and especially during minor reviews when we don't have a sounding board to discuss, you know, some of the points that may be tricky, is kind of getting on the same page with how we interpret these guidelines. and starting to come to a cohesive cooperative understanding of what we as a board want, from designs. So, sorry. So the goals, you can read these obviously, but to improve the consistency and cohesion of guideline interpretation among board members, develop interpretation guidance. So this is more of an optional bullet point. If we can get to this point, it'd be great. If not, I'm not going to be heard about it. But it'd be really nice to have, as we discussed last time, something like Briggs document that we can have, on hand as we're doing a review. And say, okay, this is how this is, how the board would interpret this usually, and here's where it is in the code, here's where it is in the technical standards. Okay, this all makes sense. And I think the decision we're making is something that is consistent. And then finally, to select photos that represent the characteristic styles found in Fort Lowell. With that, we need to know what our resources are, and I think we all know this. This is my understanding is this was presented in the training that Desiree and the city provided, so everyone is more than familiar with it by now. The UDC, the TSM, the Secretary of Interior Standards, and then finally our guidelines. I was just looking at the Secretary of Interior Standards again, and there's some really neat documents for the guidelines. They have a nice table, a way to lay it out that's, the do's and don'ts of preservation. And I'd forgotten about that, but that may be something we want to include in our interpretation guidance document. Similar, I think, to what Briggs has done. So something that I think is important to build up to this is sort of understanding what our design in Fort Lowell is in its gestalt. And the biggest thing is formal versus vernacular design. And one of the lines in our the guidelines is the buildings in the HPZ generally reflect the simple vernacular style with design roots in Sonoran tradition. So, vernacular style being something that is much more functional, much more simple, pragmatic. I'm not an expert in this by any means. So if anybody else who is more versed in it, Elaine, Briggs, Margo, want to jump in and speak to it more, I'd really appreciate it. But so pragmatic styles that are made to be mostly functional, and vernacular, from my understanding, as far as its meaning in language is sort of from the common language, right? The common man, how people talk amongst each other. So how people build amongst each other is kind of the vernacular design in my view, right? So it's how if somebody says, well, my wife's having a baby, I need another room, right? They're not going to go to find an architect and have somebody design a nice new room for them. They were getting bitten. I'm speaking more of the Fortenos, for instance. They were going to go out in the backyard and dig a hole and make bricks. And that really is kind of at the heart of vernacular design, in my mind. Sort of what materials are around you? What can you use? What's the most, the most pragmatic utilitarian approach to this that is going to be cost effective and still functional and make your home as beautiful as you can with the elements around you? Would anybody else care to add to that definition? Please.
Traditional buildings constructed by local using local materials and traditional knowledge without the help of professionals.
Yes. That. So I think that's really quintessential to Fort Lowell design. And I think that's what is laid out in the guidelines. Another component of this that this kind of lends itself to is modern versus historic design elements, right? So if you're in a historic zone, obviously the historic stuff kind of takes precedence. People don't, as per the Secretary of Interior of Standards, people don't want to invent history, as it were. but it needs to be an historic design element, even when it's new, right? It can't be so modern that it doesn't blend with the rest of the neighborhood. And then finally, modern versus historic materials. So, in order to make this place feel, that vernacular style, for that feeling to be there when you build something, whether it be new or a remodel or what have you, historic materials need to be kind of at the forefront. And if there is something prohibiting historic materials being used, for the case of doors and windows, for instance, wood is, or Douglas fir is the most common, as near as I know. And that being the case, we want Douglas fir. Okay, well, we want something that's not going to deteriorate, not going to be a target for pests, not going to rot. Okay, well, are there other materials we can use? That I think we can address on a case-by-case basis, depending on what the characteristics of what's either being replaced or what's being built. And so, does anybody else have anything to add to this before I move on?
No, Dan, are you advancing slides? Because I'm still seeing
Oh,
goals.
you're still saying what?
Goals.
Goals.
Oh, no. Oh, really? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, let's try this again. That there's like three slides I went through. All right.
Sorry, I wasn't looking at.
Is this,
I
are
can
you
help
in the
to
chat?
audit. Yes, I have Zoom up, so I can help to pick. Sorry, I didn't even occur to me.
Okay, so we have goals. Okay, this is where I was talking about the documents we need, and there's our guidelines. Can you see this now?
Yes.
Yes. And then this was the it's basically all I was talking about just in bullet form. So, and then that I brought up just the definition from the guideline, or the definition, the phrase from the guideline. So that's all. If you want to, so if anybody wants to add to these, is what I was asking, that'd be great. As far as just additional anything.
Were you going to talk about this more in later slides or modern
In
versus historic?
reference to the specific section that I'm going to cover, yeah,
Okay.
but
The only thing I want
more.
to add about modern design elements is what I see when I sometimes just watch the PRS meetings, and sometimes I watch other historic zone meetings. And what I find is there's now a tendency to add modern elements into historic designs. And I had a conversation with somebody else about this, and he said, well, sometimes it's appropriate. Sometimes that modern element works with, like in the barrio, where you've got certain design styles, and in other times it doesn't, right? And I think, and in my mind, that's what you have to watch out for, is that there's this introduction of modern elements. And I think we saw it at the commissary
I would,
with some of the things they did then.
yeah, so I can speak to that. The Secretary of the Interior Standards are national standards, right? And they've been around since the 70s. And we use them all over the country, including Tucson. And one of the standards is differentiation. And so there's another standard about avoiding a false sense of history. So that's why, so I would say it's not a new thing. This is considered best practice in preservation for compatible but differentiated. Sometimes you see it more on, more subtle differentiation, and then sometimes you do see it a bit more dramatic. It's
So
all site specific.
I think, I understand that sentiment, and I heard that several times from the city, from architects, from others in preservation. But the other side of this coin is, I think I don't know that that pertains to the first bullet of the Secretary of Interior standard, right? For preservation, the goal is to retain what's there as best you can, and to, if you can't do that, to replace in kind. And if you can't do that,
Right.
then you can start to differentiate.
Well, that's
But
differentiation, right, is related to new construction, the introduction
exactly,
of new like
that's I think what,
additions, etc.
yeah. So I think that's the main point, is that I think if someone's building a brand new structure, Right. Yeah. You don't want to make a false sense of history and you want to differentiate. Understood. At the same time, there are ways to do that that are sensitive to these guidelines. Right. And further, if you have, let's say you're replacing a window that's an historic window on a historic contributing structure, I think that window has to be replaced in kind. Right, you don't want to redesign the window for the open, right? That fenestration needs to have the same appearance as it did historically. That's a critical component, as far as I understand, of the interior standards.
Yes.
I guess it's just a thought that I would add is that generally, kind of one way that I understood new construction in a historic zone is that it should be a little bit ubiquitous and blend into the background so that the historic wall, while being in the vernacular, to allow the historic buildings to really shine and take the spotlight, and not be trying to draw the streetscape to them. And my other thought, kind of looking at this three-point bullet list, is that the historic zone's overall outlook and purpose is has a conservative outlook towards design approval. And like that it's okay to be coming from a conservative approach regarding what can get approved. And just that can be kind of like a sort of guiding acceptable and where kind of thought to the work of the board and our interpretation of our guidelines and other resources.
I just want to add too that I think the key word, Desiree, what you said is compatible.
Yes, and your design guidelines really provide that more nuance, right, to specific to the Fort Lowell historic zone. And I would agree that, yeah, it is a more conservative approach. And that's why you have the design guidelines to provide, more specific to Fort Lowell.
Also, if it's I think a place that this is happening the very best in for historic zones is the Barrio Viejo. There's been some really successful development projects in that historic zone that have done infill and really, especially as like the landscaping has developed around the new builds, they just blend, and then you get the feeling that you're in the old barrio and the historic buildings and their textures and rhythms and forums are really like taking the center stage. And if it's been a while since you've been down there, I recommend it because it's almost like a seamless transition between the new builds and most of the new builds and the historic properties.
Yeah, I think that's exactly kind of what we're going for is something that blends in, right? If it's a new construction, it's not going to be what catches your eye when you enter an historic neighborhood. Yeah, that's a great point. So, I just wanted to also add a couple examples of vernacular style in Fort Lowell, or what I think, from this is more of an opinion, but the Adobe House right over our shoulder here is a great example of vernacular style. And then I think also some of the things that were included in the Post Trader store. Even after the Bolsius renovations, I think despite the Bolsius brothers being artists and designers, a lot of what they did was more, it was not planned. It was more, well, what can we do, as we go, right? How can we make this breathing, living organism into a suitable structure for living? And that's really the heart at what's at the heart of that vernacular style, I think. So, they didn't have an architect, they didn't have plans drawn out, they didn't have, everything sort of laid out in advance. Okay, I know we do that nowadays, but the planning should look like it was unplanned. This is the point of that. So, yeah, any case. So let me just pull this up. Hang on just a second. The thing I wanted to, oh, I forgot to open it. Sorry. One second. Sure.
I put the design guideline link in the Zoom chat if that's what you're
Oh,
looking for.
no, I haven't. highlighted some things, so we'll do this there. All right, so I just wanted to, can everyone see that?
Yes.
So here are the guidelines with our bugler. So I just wanted to say, as far as this interpretation discussions, the subsequent discussions and this one goes, and this is of course up for discussion. It's not by no means, if anybody else thinks we need to discuss other sections, of course we can. But I think these are kind of the most important ones that are more either worth revisiting for some reason, or up for interpretation, or have more interpretive capacity. So, you know, 5.2 being development zones, that might be worth talking, revisiting again, just because we want to refamiliarize ourselves with that. It's not really an interpretive component of these guidelines, right? Same with types of improvements, new construction, all these sort of things. It's just something that maybe if someone wants to present on that to revisit it, and we can discuss it and make sure we're all on the same page. However, the things that do have sort of more room for interpretation that we want to be consistent about, I think are these, you know, covered in 7 and 8, sections 7 and 8. So style, architecture, site utilization, setbacks, height, proportion, pattern, rhythm, roofs, texture and color projections, architectural detail, landscape, cultural, ecological, environmental features, enclosures, parking, sidewalks, mailboxes, signs, and finally utilities. So what my hope is that after I present today, that somebody else will be able to take up one or two of these in a subsequent presentation. Some of these are going to take a lot longer than others. I think the discussion today, as you'll see, will probably take will either it'll likely bleed into next time. At least if we're going to talk about it at the length I think we're going to talk about it, and not to prolong the meeting. And so let me go back here. So yeah, if anybody else would be interested in presenting on those other topics, you know, that'd be really ideal, especially for the next meeting. We don't have pre or a review to do. Okay, so is
Dan,
it are
do
these
you
a
have visual? Oh yeah, I see them there. The topic of discussion is visual aids, and I was just curious if is
Yeah, no,
do you
I'm
have
getting
visual
there.
aids? Okay,
I'm getting there.
thanks.
Sorry, these slides aren't advancing again. Let me try this one.
They are
No, it
on
worked.
Zoom. They
Oh,
just
they
aren't
oh,
up here,
they aren't on the presentation. Strange.
but they are for
Yeah.
everybody else, and I have them on my computer as well.
Ceilings. That. All right. So taking people's suggestion, I think Desiree, you suggested this last time. As we go through these sections, is start with the most important ones rather than starting at the beginning. And I, you know, decided, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And so, or maybe not the most important, but certainly the easiest. And, you know, doors and windows were on my mind. So that's kind of what I decided I would do. And I hope I didn't, you know, I hope nobody's going, oh man, I wanted to do that one. But the other elements of this section, you know, if we get to it today, great. I don't have visual aids for those, but we can certainly pull them up. But I do have examples of doors and windows, which is what I want to talk about. So you will recognize, most people will recognize a fair number of these. In fact,
It's
they're probably from.
are you advancing now, the slide?
Oh yeah, it did.
Yeah, did not go.
No, sorry.
Jeez, man, I don't know what is going on.
But it's okay because this is only for really for my benefit, so
No, this has got to be on Zoom.
yeah, no, on Zoom.
Well, they
But
just
like
specified
it's
it.
okay if it's not going up on the wall, is what I'm saying.
They just said it wasn't advancing.
No,
It
now
is
it is.
now it is. Yeah.
Okay, what do you see?
Yes, doors.
Yours.
Great. Hooray. Okay, wonderful. So yeah, most of you will recognize these. These are from basically two different properties. And I think, you know, a lot of these are kind of quintessential examples of, you know, what we're talking about, vernacular architecture, vernacular style. And, you know, a great example is the door on the far right in the upper right-hand corner. I know that door very well. I've worked on that door. It's basically thrown together. It's really just a bunch of pieces of wood that were taken and put together to look like a door, which I kind of dig. And it's a great example of vernacular architecture. I think even in the lower left, that's the door of the Post Trader store. Still another great example where this is it's, it has a sort of rustic element to it. It's a panel door with mortise and tenon joinery, made out of Douglas fir. It's lasted 100 years, and it's going to last, I hope, 100 more. I mean, it's just, such an excellent example of what works for that property specifically. Some of these were taken from the chapel, so you can see the doors of the support building in the upper left corner. Hopefully I said the upper right earlier when I was referring to that. Okay, sorry. In the upper left corner, the doors of the support building, the door of the Adobe House, the door front doors of the chapel. All of these were installed, as my understanding goes, were installed in 2007 during the renovation. Simple raised panel doors with an OG profile on the stiles and rails. Same sort of deal where they're wooden doors. They look like wooden doors. They're functional. They're not ornate. They're mostly there to do their job and to blend into the structure rather than to be a loud sort of component. Similarly, the Vulsius doors, the carved or the other raised panel doors you see at the lower right and in the middle. I don't think I have a cursor that, see if this works. Laser pointer, this one right here. Same sort of deal. These are very functional, and while they do have more of a designed element to them, such that they're a bit asymmetric and they have more character in some ways, they still fit that vernacular style, I think. Similarly, doors with louvers obviously wouldn't be the front or the entry door, but for concealing utilities. Those are very characteristic in our neighborhood. Oops, sorry, jumping too fast. And now on to some other doors. So some of these are found in Fort Lowell. In fact, many of them are found in Fort Lowell, and two of them are from the same property as some of those other doors you're showing. However, and for my money, they don't fit as well. They're not that kind of vernacular style. This door is actually from the Mission in Tumacacori, and it's a beautiful door. It's an excellent example of the that style of carved door. I can't really put my finger on what that would be called, but it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous door. Would it fit in Fort Lowell? For my money, I don't think it would. And the reason being is how ornate it is and how something like that would not have been the first choice for Fortenio, as far as I could tell. Similarly, the door next to it that's made out of alder. Alder is not found in these parts of the United States so much. And while alder doors are very common, this one is also alder down here. They give kind of a more rustic look, that's true. And I don't think they wouldn't fit in our neighborhood outright. But this door is over 8 feet tall, the one I'm pointing at. And form, height, the scale of these things is all important. So similarly, this door to the right of that actually is a Douglas fir door. The hinges, I think, probably would make it such that it wouldn't be too common in the historic zone, in our historic zone. Some of these are more modern looking. So this goes back to this component of modern materials. And even though that door is in fact made out of wood, it's not a great example of a door that should be at least a front door for Fort Lowell. Similarly with this one, where you have these side lights that are full side lights. There are examples of side lights in Fort Lowell, but they're not floor to ceiling like this, right? They're much more fitting of the time period, of let's say either the fort or other periods of significance. Sliding glass doors, I think, is sort of the same deal where, especially really tall and really wide sliding glass doors, that doesn't fit within our guidelines. So if you go and read the guidelines, it's kind of pretty much spelled out that we want smaller openings, right? Smaller fenestrations that are, where the wall is outweighing the glass, as it were. And similarly, or another example of something that perhaps doesn't fit but is certainly historic looking is this door in the upper right from, I can't remember where that's from downtown, but these are all kind of just example, as we discussed, examples of what not to do, so to speak. And while this list is certainly not exhaustive, and it'd be impossible to make it exhaustive, I just wanted to open for discussion. Does anybody who disagrees with any of that? Is it, is this that was solely my interpretation, and I'm curious to know what other people think and how they interpret it.
Are you suggesting that these photos are possibly like the photo references for the design guidelines?
I think it'd be better to do this,
Okay.
right? To select for rather than to select against. But I did want to include examples of things that we don't want to see if anybody that, like I said, this in my mind is these don't work, right? But I am not by any means the authority. And I really want the board to weigh in and say, oh, actually, I think this does work for this reason, or I agree with you, this doesn't work. I think it's really important that we come to a sort of consensus on why something works, why something doesn't. So if anybody wants to jump in.
I did put the text from the design guidelines from the section on doors because my understanding is this, what we're doing today is looking for examples, visual aids that reflect the design guidelines how they are now. We're not necessarily revising the design guideline text, right?
No, but this is what, so just to reiterate, what my goal in these presentations was, and I think what we agreed to last time is that this isn't just a discussion about trying to find visual aids. This is a discussion to get the board members on the same page about interpretation of the text in the current guidelines, right? We've had issues in the past during reviews where we're not exactly in agreement. Right. And the homeowner is sitting there tapping their foot, the architect sitting there rolling their eyes. And it would be really nice to have meetings where we say, hey, here's what our guidelines say. And we all say, yes, that's what the guidelines say. Matter of factly. So that's the goal of what I'm getting.
I understand that, but this is the text of the design guidelines is what is going to be utilized, right? For not just for y'all's review, but also for PRS, for the directors, and this is what we're going to be providing to applicants. So it whatever examples that are shown, they should reflect the text in the design guidelines.
Right, I agree.
Okay.
So I think just like anything else, any body of text, right? There's it's why the Supreme Court is that there is room for interpretation.
The doors are also mentioned in other parts of the guidelines too, which is in our current visual reference of the different architectural style vernaculars such as Santa Fe Ranch or Sonoran Ranch, and it's just emphasized over and over again that they should be rustic, wood planked. I think. Yeah, understanding that it wouldn't be correct to have the light windows running next to a front door in the Fort Lowell neighborhood. Any development zone is going to inform that. I do like if you can advance to the disinclusions, just calling out like overly ornate hardware being outside of the Fort Lowell vernacular, just overly ornate in general. Drifting away from geometric into like a more decorative style. So I feel that our guidelines do provide a little bit more because of the architect, like the territorial ranch says doors are framed with minimal trim, emphasizing clean proportions, straightforward detailing. I also like the nuance, it's really hard to tell from the picture, but the proportions on the second from the left on the top, the 8-foot door, Yeah, just like an 8 foot door would frequently be inappropriate, and there's really not any examples of 8 foot doors on the historic properties for that are rectangular doors. So yeah, I think emphasizing material that really wood is the most appropriate for this neighborhood and not overly ornate, but that there is still an opportunity to have a decorative element. I know we put in some new doors not too long ago, and we went forward with m more of the Bolsiez style because it's the vernacular of the individual property. So.
Yeah. So something else I wanted to query, unless does anybody else have any comments about this stuff? Just this comments general.
No, I think it's good.
So this is a set of doors of photos that I got stuck on. So I can tell you that the upper left, the blue doors there, those are in fact made out of Douglas fir, and it's a set of carriage doors that this was not installed in Fort Lowell, but just as an example. I don't know if that fits, but according to our guidelines, it might. And I'm saying similarly, these two doors on the far corners and lower left and the upper right, those are at the commissary. As far as entry doors go, front entry doors, I don't think they'd be suitable, but they're not on the front, they're on the back and on the side. So yeah, that's okay. And as far as, but let's say we had a case where somebody did want to put something with lights, let's say the lower left door here, right? Is that acceptable as a front door? Right? Do we see that the guidelines explicitly warn us against doing that? Is that okay? Is it not okay? I know that the guidelines warn against this for front doors, right? For full light doors. Is that acceptable for a rear door? Near as I know, no, it shouldn't be, right? So this is the point where I think interpretation gets a little fuzzy, and I think it's worth discussing these things. These doors on the commissary also, despite being on the commissary, they're pretty unique. And they may not be suitable for particularly for new construction or for if somebody does have to replace a door and doesn't want to replace any kind or however, what have you, right? So yeah, I just wanted to open this part of it for discussion and see if anybody else had comments on this.
I think the commissary doors are actually a great case scenario for a patio door. I think it's normal for people to want to let light into the house and to be bringing in more light. I don't think that there's really a circumstance that they would be appropriate for a front door.
Yeah. I agree.
I can't really see somebody doing a recreation of the bottom left one, but they do kind of speak to like the d divided light frames, and like a like if you just think about affordability of glass, like they're in the vernacular. I feel like the board, it's on a case by case basis for using newer materials and discussions of impacts on sight lines to neighbors and stuff in terms of front French doors, but generally divided light planes are better. Are a better expression of the vernacular style.
So is there a case where a full light door, such as the one that the cursor is on, is acceptable?
No, the guidelines say no. There,
No
it's
matter,
either.
even if it's rear facing.
Oh no,
Or
you can put it so long as the neighbor can't see it, is what I remember it to say. So long as it's not visible to neighbors.
So all right, that answers that. Okay. Does anybody else have comments about doors or have other? I was hoping, Elaine, you would be able to pull up some other examples.
For doors,
Doors.
maybe.
Maybe.
Doors are hard to catch because if you're taking a picture of the house itself. Often they're screen doors.
Yeah, true.
Oh, look, but
Yeah.
don't want you to move
But I mean,
on.
this is a I think a good start for examples, right? I think we don't need to use these per se, but you know, they're exactly what's described in the guidelines. So, you know, does anybody have any comments on that? Any better examples? Do you not like these examples?
I'm not crazy about the chapel or the post-traders, any of these double door expressions. I'm not crazy about that being a primary example of which direction to go for new construction. I think that like having a double threshold is a little bit more extraordinary of circumstance. There's very few examples. That's a big, large public building. That's a formerly public building. Like they're just, and this one is a utility structure supporting the chapel. I don't think that those would be our primary, primary examples.
So nix all the double doors. If we just look at everything, so I don't know that we'd include a louver door. I just wanted to throw that in for something that was, you know, acceptable for a utility cover. But
And
these
even
others that are frame and panel, right? It's very simple frame and panel, more, you know, designed or ornate, but it's not ornate. You know, is that are those acceptable?
I'm slightly concerned about the one with the window peephole too.
I agree. Okay, but these guys, these three. Okay, so let's start from these three, and if other people have good examples that emulate those, but give a different style, that would be wonderful. I'm sure I do have some as well. I just threw that in the slideshow.
I do like the idea of providing like at least one like utility structure door. I think that the louvered one may not be the right one, maybe like more something that's more like in the a plank vernacular. I think it's very informed to have this other exterior door visual reference because that's a it's a very common type of addition to do, like moving your washer dryer outside or whatever.
So, with that, let's move to windows.
Can I
Same sort of
just
setup here.
add
Sorry,
something real quick?
yeah.
I think those are great examples and great discussion and kind of, I guess what I was trying to get at earlier is if there are certain things, we're not radically rewriting, you know, the design guidelines. Obviously, there is a very lengthy process for that. But if there are specific things like you were talking about the side lights, I did a search in the guidelines. I didn't see anything about that. It's possible I'm just missing it. But if there are things like that that come up, you know, it might be worth adding that, right? If we're going to be revising with the photos. So
I
I would just
think,
say to kind of keep that in
yeah,
mind.
I think side lights are acceptable. You know, I don't know, because they're in that section in the guidelines. I'd have to go look at it directly again, but in that section in the guidelines, it does sort of warn against glass
Full
and front
panels.
doors, right?
Well, I think it's about, I can't remember now, but full panels of glass, right?
Right,
So there are
right.
side lights like at the officers' quarters. Those doors on the old officers'
Right.
quarters have
Yeah.
side lights.
But that is also a very special case, just as the
Yeah, and at the
commentary is
museum,
illustrated.
there's side lights.
Right.
So that's kind of
Right.
where you go is to say, you know, you see them in historic structures, and then like Briggs said, case by case, would you accept it in a replacement, right? Or if someone's gonna replace front doors and they want to add side lights, right?
So it just says glass doors may not be visible from the street. It doesn't specifically say.
A side light is a window. Like it's a window element next to a door.
It's a special case though, because it's part of a. I mean, I'll give you an example. So, let's say you have an opening that's as big as the one at the Post Trader store, right? So you have this double opening. You put a single door that's a 6830 door, and you surround it with glass side lights on either side. right? According to our guidelines as they currently are, that's not explicitly, it's not explicitly said that's not allowed. That's, I think, what Desiree's point is. So what we, I think, as the interpreters of our guidelines, and probably we do need to add something about sidelines in future drafts, as Desiree said, but that would be a problem, wouldn't it? If you had a standard size door surrounded by 3 foot sidelines on either side.
To me, that's a win. It's a window, and we could discuss it as a window. It's a glass frame window, light letting light in, and the discussion could be contained by our window guidelines.
So I mean
So,
the
Dan,
well,
if you move on to windows, I think you have some. I
no,
think I
yeah,
saw
I do. It's
something
just
about full length windows, right? I mean, some of the
yep,
windows,
that's
like even
true.
on
That is very
Poster,
true.
look like doors because they're full length windows.
So I guess my point was, and actually I'm going to jump ahead to this because the point I was trying to make is that the fenestration is more what I think we're concerned about with new construction, not necessarily the design of the door itself, right? So you're saying you don't want a double wide open. And what I'm saying is somebody could put a double wide open and it looks like a door, but it's sidelines.
Well, I think that the board would recommend against it based on the development zone. Like, yeah, like it's a we're a guiding force, and also like the board is it is also designed to be a public process with conversation, and like it's boards don't always vote in unanimously. So like
Fair enough.
yeah,
That's
just
just.
yes, I'm pleased to have a more nuanced conversation to revisit our guidelines, but the guidelines themselves also do call for a case-by-case basis.
Sure. No, I agree. But it's, I'm more trying to get. Oops, sorry. I'm missing this one.
So do you have those windows from the
Yeah.
poster
Yeah.
you
I'll pull
showed?
them up. I'll pull them up. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Windows?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So, just as an example, let me here, let's go. Are you talking about the one lower left here, or are you talking about these guys? Well, actually, it's the same picture. I forgot. Yeah. So,
No, I'm talking about the one, the keep going on your next slide. Keep going, keep going. See those back one. That one,
there?
right, that
Yeah.
one.
Okay.
So one person who came for review a few years ago came and said that and justified glass doors because he said those windows, those full length windows were doors.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah, it was a problem.
They are not doors.
So what if somebody that this is a good point though, what if it this is a great case in which that set of windows particularly fits within our guideline. In fact, I would say that most of our I would say windows are thought to start low and end high in a lot of cases. And another example with the commissary here, although it's not a historic example, that's in San Miguel. Start low and end high. And so is that acceptable for windows? Is that acceptable on new construction for windows? Is that something we want to shy away from? Would the guidelines say that wall should dominate, right? And how far are we willing to and take that interpretation is kind of the question, right? Let's see here. Sorry, I have to move that. Smaller windows in series are more appropriate than large picture windows, and a variety of window sizes and asymmetric placements are common. Is that applicable to large windows, like Elaine just pointed out, is the question. And should that be something we say, oh yes, that's fully acceptable and we like that, or is that something that in a new construction we say, no, we want it to, like you say, Briggs, blend in, where it doesn't have these characteristics that kind of make it stand out, such as large windows.
I think it's going to be a little bit informed by the development zone. Like if you're in like the ranchero barrio agriculture farmer part of the neighborhood, you're going to have a slightly different outcome than if you're over in the territorial fort style of the neighborhood. So it's nuanced. It and the development zone deeply informs that thinking process. Like, I think the board did a really good job recently on a recent review because, like, a window and sliding door combos were brought to us that were from a modern outlook. And we said that's really just not the correct approach for this, even though it was a newer build development within the neighborhood. It's still in the zone. And we said there's having this modernist type architecture is not an appropriate interpretation of our guidelines. And like I think we were really successful as a board in understanding our guidelines and aesthetics and communicating that to the applicant.
We did. So, does anybody else have other comments about this, or was there any other concerns or any other points of interpretation you think are different than what's been discussed? Suppose not. So, same sort of deal as with the doors. I wanted to bring some examples that may not fit quite as well. The height needs to predominate over the width. That's stated in the guidelines. However, that happens to be a window that is also at the post-trader store. Similarly, right, where we have these huge openings where these would not be. They're sort of in line with the guidelines, but they would not be really accepted in a new construction, right? So this big tall window here, yes, so the height is greater than the width, but is that acceptable? This one is from somewhere downtown. Obviously that doesn't fit with our guidelines, but you can imagine if this, had a wall on the other side of it, it might fit in the guidelines. I don't know. Just as a point of discussion, does anybody have any comments about stuff like this? Do you think that these should be like something like this, this very tall window? Is that acceptable?
I think that there's a lot of variety in Fort Lowell. There's a big variety over generations of time and different styles and different house styles and building styles. So I think you have to consider that too, that the variety is not always negative.
No, of course not. But it's good. I think it's good to nail down elements that make it that we can agree are fitting with the guidelines and those that aren't, right? Or
Right.
that fit with our interpretation of it.
Right.
So the window that the cursor is on right now, for my money, technically that I think that does fit with the guidelines. But I'm not sure that many people on the board would find that to be an appropriate opening for the front of a new building, right?
Strange.
So
It doesn't have like a wood lintel and like there's other elements like it I would say that it's not blending for a new construction, and we would probably be inclined to request something that blends more, perhaps with a windowsill and maybe exposed wood up top. But the way it's projecting is quite unusual and like kind of an outstanding example as opposed to a more typical example. Again, drawing from its development zone. That's why when especially for the bigger build packages, we want people to be bringing their photo references so that we understand what they're drawing from and making a case for maybe a specialized design element or something, while not creating a false sense of history.
So I think these are all great points. There's a couple other photos here that I wanted to, more for my own curiosity. If somebody brings a window wall to us, but it can't be seen by neighbors, are they allowed to do it?
We just basically declined on something like this not that long ago. Yeah.
But if it can't be seen by neighbors, or if there's an argument to be made that it likely couldn't be, I mean, the reason I ask is, do we approach this in the sense of, okay, current neighbors couldn't see it because of the brush cover, so technically we can't say no, kind of thing, or do we approach this as if somebody were to build something else, that's adjacent to a property showing that, it could be seen in the future. So this is why the can't be seen by neighbors argument is kind of tricky to me, is that may be the case now, but is that going to be the case 30 years from now?
I still don't know where it provides for a window wall. I think it just there's a discussion of French doors and glass filled doors
No,
and
sorry. I just mean that under the purview of our guidelines generally, right? So it seems like that's Elaine, maybe if you want to reiterate what you said earlier, that, if it can't be seen by a neighbor, then yeah, you can have a full light door, right? So how far, where does that slippery slope end? That's the question. Another example, there are examples in Fort Lowell where these kind of larger windows can be found. And so the question is it something that is acceptable or not?
I think it's our goal to err on the side of conservatism.
So Briggs says no. Does anybody else disagree?
I think it
No.
has to be case by case still.
So in spite of trying to find the line, it's a skewed pattern
Good
vertical dimension
luck.
windows. We're in the case of windows.
Because I think we all live in these homes that have those windows.
Well, I mean, it's obviously been, done in the past, right? So that's why if somebody comes to us saying, here's my example photos of, my development zone, why can't I build a window wall? Right? What do we say to that? Can we say anything? Are we just, well, that's, make them divided light and go along your merry way.
I actually think that like if somebody really wants a large window, like referencing the picture, the casement windows, those large casement windows that appear on certain homes and are taking in those beautiful Catalina views, that would be the reference. The windows at one of my houses, they got replaced at one point since my family owned the home, and they were not necessarily the best choice for historic. Now they've been returned to casement windows.
No, I think so. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to call anything out or say specifically case examples. I'm just, this is more of an intellectual curiosity for me in particular. And I hope it's interesting to the rest of you, but, is when do we say yay and when do we say nay, right? And how do we determine, obviously it's the development zone, but is there anything that's a hard line, right? Is there anything we need to be cautious of? And sort of what I'm getting is no, not really, but kind of yes. So I don't know. Mean that, this is, I guess this is more what I expect in Fort Lowell. right? Here's the commissary. Does that mean that that's always the most acceptable approach for new construction, particularly?
Or replacements, right?
Well, I'm assuming if we're doing replacement, that they're not going to change the fenestration, right? That the building envelope stays the same. But for a remodel or for an addition, right? For new construction, an addition or a remodel, I guess, yeah, that's true. Is how do we?
I mean, our design guidelines say that wood double hung, single hung, and casement windows with divided lights are the most historically appropriate. That's the leading line. That's there's going to be case by case discussions, but we can be informed by this is the most common architectural choice for the neighborhood, and in terms of blending in and fitting in with the historic aesthetic, that would be the best choice for someone entering a design process.
Okay, well, I think, these are all good things to keep in mind, and I don't know, does anybody else have comments about this or want to talk about this more? I mean, I feel like I'm the only one who's really interested to get down to the nitty-gritty of this right now, but
Well, I don't think you can nail it down is the problem until you have something that someone has presented, and you have an interpretation, and the board has an interpretation, and the city has an interpretation, and the PRS has an interpretation on what's acceptable. So to get consensus as speculation, I think is going to be too hard. Especially when you see beautiful windows, you see nice windows in houses that we live in, and you think, well, I wouldn't want to, I'm really glad that window's there, right? So that's what makes it hard. And because there is such a big variety that you're really making a judgment about whether that variety, whether that variation is acceptable, compatible, with the historic district. Does it contribute to the historic district, the historic zone, or does it detract from it?
Yeah, I think that's a fair approach to this.
I think focusing on the most common examples for the ones that are recommended is good. And then, in terms of the ones that are discouraged, pick the things that we could keep seeing pop up, right? That like vinyl windows, that's a given.
Of course.
Or,
No, I
like
think.
that bay window you showed, things that are just so obviously not meeting the guidelines. I think those are going to be most helpful.
No, I think that's good to. So for yeah, just as like you say, to go back to this case of choosing examples, are there any here we like as examples? Or any of these styles we like, and we can either have them drawn up or take better photos of better windows that are similar.
The best two are the blue framed ones on the right side.
These two.
No, the double hung ones and the divided double hung one. I wouldn't call these aren't necessarily premier examples of windows for the neighborhood. I'm gonna sorry, go over here. The one that's second from the right looks, yeah, there's it looks like it could be vinyl. It doesn't have a sill, it doesn't have a header. The one on the brick building looks like it's interacting with the door threshold. That just it makes it complicated. The casement one is unrestored, so it just doesn't look great. None of these pictures are like I think premier ideal examples for guiding people towards the common outcome.
So as far as style goes, Do we want to include casement?
I think it's nice to include a case. Yeah, I think that they occur. They're called out in the guidelines as inappropriate for the neighborhood. They're pretty hard to execute or like make it happen. So I think that it's going to be an uncommon design choice relative to doing like double hung windows.
So the other question here, this is a window in San Miguel.
It would not be a
Why?
reference point anyway because it's a non-contributing property,
That
non-historic.
is true. But
So
so the reason I included this is because if when people come to us and you have a non or a not a contributing non-historic property,
that is not where you should be drawing your references from. You should be drawing from the historic properties.
true, true. Yeah, so we don't need to include that though. Does
Mm-mm.
everybody else agree with that?
Yes.
And then this one, yeah, I don't know what the material is here. It's just a random window that had divided light. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, if that were wood, would you find it acceptable if it had a lintel?
Yeah, I think we can produce better
Yeah.
examples. Yeah.
I'm just wondering where to go next for examples, because like obviously, all these are in Fort Lowell in some capacity. This is the only one that's not in the HPD, right? So, it's do we want to? Obviously, we can get better examples, but what are those examples that we want? Let's say a double hung, like you say. You're looking for one with a lintel. None of these actually have exposed lintels. All of, most of them have casing around the window, which is actually relatively uncommon. It's mostly found in the Post Trader store in the commissary. So, these are the kind of elements that I'm curious about. So just an example.
Here are some great windows.
Yeah.
Yes, these would be more
One
appropriate
sounds good.
examples to draw from or taking a little walk down El Cajon.
So we can get those better photos of those, that's for sure. But what my do we want to include examples such as those found at the commissary, where this detail around the window is relatively uncommon? It's found like this, near as I can tell, it's mostly at the commissary, mostly at the Post Trader.
I would recommend to go for simpler expression of a double hung window that's more like the most traditional, most commonly occurring double hung style windows. Like I, especially if it's the photo reference, it's best to quest for the most common iterations of and maybe a photo example that shows the varying window sizes. Because I think that's huge, not getting all uniform size windows facing the street is fairly important to the architectural outcome. So just I would.
So this may be another question we're asking then. Do we want to try to get the quintessential windows drawn or utilizing resources from the city, or do we want to just say, okay, here's the photos?
It's my understanding that that's what they're working towards in Barrio Viejo, that they're working up photo references and then that they would like to transition back to illustrations so that it's a little bit less literalized or whatever their motivations are. But
Okay. Well, I mean, or maybe, yeah, or combo each. So given that, and given that it's getting late, and like I said, I thought this discussion would go forever. I hate to ask everybody to do homework, but I'm wondering if people wouldn't be willing to bring a few examples of doors and windows next time. And that can be sort of the nail in the coffin for our discussion here. And then we can choose a few that we say are exemplary. Is anybody opposed to that? Think everybody fell asleep.
I won't be able to help you with that for a while, so.
Mean, even if you can just send them over the chat, right?
Well, I'm not in Tucson.
Oh, yeah, I just assumed. Okay, that's okay. Does anybody else have digitized photos then that would be
Yeah,
accessible?
Dan, if you want to show that folder, I sent you a link to a folder on the, it's actually on the neighborhoods drive, Google Drive.
Hang
And
on, I
I'm
gotta
going to
pull it
get
up.
permission from the neighborhood to open that drive up to the historic board. And then you could drop things into that drive. Do you want me to open it or you won't open it?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I can't find it. I don't know where it
I have
went.
to, you have to let me share.
Yes, stop share. Share settings. Desiree, do you know how to do that? I quickly, I'm not
I
as versed in
just,
this as you are.
yeah, I just made you a co-host, Elaine.
Tell me when you see anything.
We see something. It's not your screen yet. There it goes. Yep.
That's really nice.
That's the Isidro Ochoa house. Doors and windows.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a quintessential example of both, and we can prop that as needed.
So this is a drive, and I set it up for historic district architecture. And I shared it with Dan, but you can, it just has photos and a few
Just
documents.
an idea or a concept. It might be cool to just brainstorming to feature doors and windows that maybe are harder to see from the streetscape. Because like anybody who's walking around their development zone while doing their design process is going to be able to see the biggest, primest examples. So just kind of maybe seeing if we can emphasize ones that are not like the most featured examples on the street so that we're giving them more variety than what you actually see when you walk down the trails.
I mean, I think first and foremost, it's important to have, the best examples. So I mean, not to say that we couldn't find those in more, in conspicuous places or in more hidden
Yeah.
places,
These are,
that.
this is the Arizona building at TMC that they just restored. And then fences and walls. You guys have seen some of these already.
So save those for next time, if you would, just because
Yeah.
I think that'll be the
But
next topic of discussion in section 7.9.
I did also follow up with Damien about his interest in contributing to this project, and he did express some interest in doing whatever he does with his massive photo thing. So he's on a trip right now, but I will ping him to let him know that this is continuing to move forward if he wants to submit the references.
But then there'll be a, there'll also be, I'll try to put some other stuff in here too. These also, I haven't talked about this, but these are the inventory forms that the city of Tucson has. Well, I guess they're not. Oh, they didn't go in.
You're talking about the list of historic and contributing and non-contributing
These are the actual
properties.
forms. They didn't load,
Okay.
unfortunately. I'll have to try it again. But y'all should have access to those too. These are the inventory forms for the Adkins parcel.
Are these the old ones?
The old one, yeah, these are all the old, they're from 82 and from 95. But I'm trying to load all those things in there and then I'll give you guys access. I'll share them with you.
That's
So
impressive.
I hope this discussion wasn't totally boring. I feel like I was the only one who learned anything from this.
Oh, Dan, it was really good. I enjoyed listening to you and Briggs and
We did.
Elaine.
It was instructive.
Yeah, no, that's good. It was just an attempt at trying to open a discussion about this stuff and, discuss, maybe not an offline discussion, given that we are always online, but offline in the sense that not during a review we get to talk about some of these things. Not, and again, like I didn't really know where it was going to end up or where it is going to end up, but it'd be nice to have something by the end of it that sort of helps us during reviews, right? In particular, during minor reviews, a cliff notes sort of a thing, so that we don't feel lost in the weeds, right? If somebody has a minor review that we're stuck on. So.
I find it really useful to just do a term search of the guidelines for the topic at hand and then flip through every time Windows appears and just do a little review of the guidelines. Like, I was doing it all throughout this meeting for both doors and windows. I was toggling back and forth.
Please don't take my silence as any indication of disinterest. I think Dan and Briggs and Elaine, your level and probably Margot too, but your level
No.
of
No.
understanding of these things is light years beyond my understanding.
Oh,
And
I
so
really doubt that. The reason I did this is because I don't know my elbow from my eyeball, so as far
Well,
when it comes to design review, right? So
you know a lot about design and Windows and so on and so forth. So thank you for sharing all of that.
I hate to ask, but would anybody else be willing to tackle the next chunk? I mean, I'm happy to finish with 7.9 to get more photos and just to sort of continue the discussion next time. But would anybody else want to jump in? Is there anything in particular somebody wants to discuss or has a point in the guidelines where we might need some examples or that we texture and color, roofs, pattern and rhythm, height and proportion, site utilization, setbacks, architecture, style. I don't know if anybody here would be willing to speak to it, but style was something that I am really, I still don't know that if somebody quizzed me, I could tell them which one is Sonoran Ranch and which one is Pueblo Revival. I like to think I can sort of eyeball it, but I couldn't define the characteristics of each of those beyond what the guidelines say. So I don't know if there's anybody who'd be willing to tackle style, for instance, and has more expertise than I do, or maybe we want to call on an architect or
Architect,
Damien.
yeah. I think we could also get some help from an architect like Alan Scott.
That'd be great. So, I mean, if somebody can make that contact, and Elaine, if you could make that contact potentially and have him come, give us a, even if it's only 15, 20-minute primer on what these styles are and what defines them quintessentially.
Damien would also probably be thrilled
That'd be
to
great. That'd be
do
phenomenal.
that kind of education segment.
That'd be fun.
Shall we move on to the next agenda items, or does anybody want to volunteer? I won't be here for the next meeting, so I don't want to volunteer at this time.
If somebody would be willing to take on one of these, it'd be really nice, but I don't want to obligate anybody to do extra work if they're not into it. Can also just, table that, and if somebody jumps in the meantime, that'd be great. But I know what the probability of that happening. Well, in any case, think about it, please.
We will.
It's very educational for me anyway, and it sounds like for David when we do these things. So,
No, this was a great start.
it is. And I just do not feel qualified to even put together anything on any of those
Well, you saw my
dimensions.
terrible examples. Come on.
Your examples were great. They were absolutely great.
Well, don't I would say don't shy away from it for that reason. You know, it was not meant to be the, oh, I'm the authority. It was meant to be more, please tell me what I'm getting wrong. So, yeah.
So Briggs and Desiree, are other historic zones doing this too, in the same way?
I don't know the process that they're doing in Barrio Viejo. I just know that they've also working very hard to get their design guidelines updated. And I mentioned to a board member, you may want to move forward with adopting your language and then do a second part because it's so important to have the updated guidelines. And that then they were going to be picking out their visual references. And I heard it mentioned that they were considering having illustrations done instead of providing pictures so that if it's like a print resource, it will continue to translate. And it's also, yeah, I don't know what their other motivations are.
Yeah, I would say that's my understanding as well. They are looking at visual aids. They are also looking at the use of AI for some of them. So I think the idea of taking photos and then maybe transferring them into illustrations. As far as West University, they already have some images. I'm not sure if they are in their sketches, in their existing design guidelines. And I'm not sure if they're going to just use the same ones or if they're going to update them.
Desiree, would it be possible for you to send us links with the other preservation zone guidelines just so we can kind of just, I know they're at different processes with updating, but it would just kind of be informative to be able to browse through them and
Yes, yeah, so and there's the links available of the existing guidelines, and I'm actually waiting from both on more revised drafts. So once I get them, I can probably share them.
you did such a good job of helping us get ours in place. I know you're going to support them in adopting the bulk of their work.
Yes, trying. Yeah, West University is very close. They just need to kind of finalize a few edits. And then Barrios, I missed the last meeting, but I know that they've been working hard on theirs too.
Cool. So I guess let's move on. The next agenda item is minor reviews, staff updates.
I don't have much to update. Dan, you helped with one not too long ago. It was
Yeah.
a Ramada and in the park, in Fort Lowell Park. So that one was completed. But other than that, I don't have any, we don't have any current ones, or upcoming, at least at this point, but that could change.
Is that satisfactory for you? Staff updates and future agenda items. I think we decided we're going to talk again a little more about enforcement next time, so that's going to be a new agenda item.
Yes.
Otherwise, are there others?
I'd just like to let the board know I won't be in attendance for the next meeting.
There are no current full reviews at this moment, but again, that's always subject to change.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I guess we're adjourned.
Thank you, Dan, for all your work.
Yeah.
Thank you,
I tried.
everybody. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
Right, thanks.